back here at halftime in New Rochelle in the Heinz Athletic Center. And this is our halftime show presented by Surf Taco. Good food, good people, and good vibe. As we'll now take a look at not only our first half statistics, but a look around the Monmouth men's and women's basketball scene with our good friend Josh Newman from the Asbury Park Press. And while we have Josh here, we want to remind you for home delivery of the press, visit app.com/subscribe. As Josh, before we take a look at the game that transpired earlier here in New Rochelle, we take a look at those first 20 minutes of basketball we've seen between the Hawks and Gales on the men's side. And we just said it off air, I think it's the perfect way to lead in. Iona hasn't played a great first half, but Monmouth has not played well at all, and that's why we have 42-26. And I just saw this, Iona's taken 22 threes in the first half, but they've done enough to build a sizable double-digit advantage.
Yeah, Iona is really, I mean, they're playing well, but they're not playing so well where there should be a 16-point game at the half. I mean, it took Sean Armand a while to get going. David Laurie has early foul trouble. But, you know, when Monmouth turns the ball over 14 times and Iona's turning that into 18 points, we get this type of score here at the half.
Yeah, and Josh alluded to it. Monmouth has given the ball up, as he said, 14 times. What makes Iona's 18 points off of turnovers so devastating if you're an MU fan is the Hawks haven't been able to turn any of Iona's turnovers into any points. The Gales are outscoring MU, Josh, off of turnovers, 18-0, 9-1 on the second chance points. I mean, any way you shake it, you look at any stat you want, Iona playing well enough for us to see why they're, the best team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. Like I said, I mean, Armand and Laurie, you know, they took a while to get going. There were some struggles, but I really feel like they're complimentary guys, Isaiah Williams, A.J. English, Trey Bowman. You know, Iona's not deep, but the six or seven guys that they do throw out there consistently, it's a very talented group. And as you said, I mean, you believe that Iona's the best team in the MAC. I mean, I might agree. I mean, you know, my mind changes here. It seems like every day. But, yeah, Iona is a legitimate, you know, mid-major program that has aspirations to get back to the NCAA tournament, and they're showing why right now.
And Steve and I talked in the first half as we're speaking with Josh Newman that the team or the kind of team that could give Iona trouble is what Coach Rice is trying to do today. He's going with the two freshman bigs, trying to be bigger. You know, you can kind of foresee a Manhattan or a Quinnipiac, a physical bigger team, give them trouble. But it's just hard to see when they're shooting it and moving the ball well. 12 assists on 15 field goals in that first half. And you can see how just tough a cover they are for anyone. And their big guy, David Laurie, is skilled in more guards in this conference.
Oh, no doubt. He's 6'9". I think he's like 255. I mean, he was a high major recruit when he was in high school. He's a West Orange native, high major kid, went to Iowa State. You know, there were problems there. He showed up at Iona, got eligible finally for the second semester of last season. He brings a completely different dimension, not only to, you know, the program, but also to the conference. You don't see many players of David Laurie's caliber showing up in the MAC. You know, a 6'9", 245-pound guy who can bring the ball up the floor. You just don't see that type of thing in this league.
He kind of reminds me a little bit of the old and one mixtape player, the Escalade. Now, he's not as big as Escalade. Maybe he could be like... Yeah, maybe
Escalade was like 400 pounds.
He was a big dude. Maybe David Laurie could be like a UConn, you know, like a midsize. But his skill is incredible, and he's I don't know who anyone in the league has that's going to cover him. If you put a big on him, he's going to go to the basket. If you put a little guy on him, he's going to back you down. I'm just trying to think who could, you know, maybe Daniel Stewart at Ryder could cover him.
Even still, and the crazy thing about Laurie is, and I'm sure some people have noticed this, he's been coming off the bench. This is the ninth straight game he's coming off the bench. Iona is 8-0. They're on an eight-game winning streak. They're 8-0, and they're bringing this kid off the bench. He's averaging like 18-8 over the last eight games. That's crazy to me how Iona can bring a kid like that off the bench, and they're still doing what they're doing to the league over the last month here.
And what they're doing right now is leading Monmouth 42-26. You mentioned that eight-game Iona winning streak. Well, you have to look at the other side of the coin, our side. Monmouth on a five-game skid right now, as this game is the final game of a three-game road stand before they go home for four in a row at the MAC before finishing up the year at Siena first Sunday in March. Josh, Monmouth has been it's a nasty five-game winning streak. The last two games, the offense hasn't looked good. Continue that trend tonight. What do you see? We've seen this team at their best and now at their worst. What are some of these potential things that MU needs to get back to snap this skid?
They need to start. I feel like they're not moving without the ball enough. I feel like a lot of times, and you know, you said it yourself, the Fairfield game, the St. Peter's game, and again tonight, the offense just looks stagnant. Guys are not moving without the ball, cutting, looking for open space. And, you know, they really have to get back to that. I feel like when they were winning early in the season, you know, they started 4-5 in the MAC. The offense was a little more fluid, flowing a little more freely. If they could get back to that, you know, they're capable of if not beating, they're capable of playing with anyone.
And you take a look at some of the scores MU's put up. They've scored over 80 a bunch of times this season. But since that 83-82 win at Canisius, that miracle win on the Sunday in the MAC, they've struggled to break the early 70s. And that's just been kind of coincided with this. Steve went over in our pregame, the Monmouth guards shooting just low percentages. And they just seem to get a lot of empty possessions, and we've seen some of that again tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Robinson and Josh James, you know, they're obviously on the floor a lot. You know, King Rice asked a lot of them. And I felt maybe that, you know, they're freshmen, it's their first college season. I thought maybe that they were kind of hitting a wall. And I asked, you know, King Rice and both kids about that. They said, no, there's no wall. But, I mean, if there's no wall, then what do you make of this? I mean, they haven't really looked as good as they did earlier in the season. You know, I know that Justin Robinson's been kind of hobbled with the ankle. I don't know, but if there is a wall, they're going to have to get over that, because you got five games after this one, plus at least one MAC tournament game. There's still a lot of basketball left to be played.
Absolutely, as Monmouth is 10-15, 4-10 in league play. As now let's take a look backwards. This is the second of a doubleheader here at the Hines Athletic Center. Josh, the women's team, I know you were up here for that one. They were down 15 in the second half. They came back to take a lead with 10 seconds to go before falling to Iona's women 60-59, who are also in first place in this conference. Coach Palmateer's team, they get big efforts kind of when you least expect it. And that team has a Jekyll and Hyde thing going on, that if they get, dare I say, hot enough, they can make some noise, because the MAC on the women's side, it's Marist, it's Iona. There's a few other good teams, but outside of that, pretty wide open.
Yeah, and, you know, the bottom three quarters or the bottom half, you know, if they catch the right matchup in Springfield, it's not unthinkable that they could win a first-round game and then push somebody to the limit in a quarterfinal. As you said, they're kind of Jekyll and Hyde. If they had stolen this game at Iona, that would have been a landmark win for Jenny Palmateer. So, you know, a young team, but they're definitely heading in the right direction right now.
Josh, appreciate a few minutes here at halftime. Hawks trail 42-26. Check out Josh's great work, not only in tomorrow's edition of the Asbury Park Press, but tonight on APP.com and on the Hawks Nest blog. Sir, great job as always.
Always a pleasure, Eddie.
That's Josh Newman from the Asbury Park Press giving us a few minutes here at halftime. We'll step out for 60 seconds and come back courtside with Monmouth trailing Iona 42-26. Back in 60 on the Shore Sports Network. Back here again at halftime, Monmouth trails Iona 42-26, and fans, we want to remind you to stay connected with the Monmouth Hawks through a variety of social media outlets. Follow at MU Hawks on both Twitter and Instagram, like Monmouth University Athletics on Facebook, and visit youtube.com/MonmouthHawks for videos with MU coaches, players, and more. As Steve, we're back here at halftime, just joined by Josh Newman, gave us a couple minutes, our buddy from the Asbury Park Press. Two other games in league play tonight. Siena visits Marist, that game tipping off right about now on ESPN3. And then later tonight, 9 p.m., Canisius at Niagara in an ESPNU tip-off, as we'll now take a look at the MAC standings presented by Coke Zero. And Steve, right now, Monmouth is in the 9 spot. Iona is number 1. Let's quickly run down the league standings, and we'll give you what would be the matchups if the MAC tournament started tonight. Iona's in first place at 13-2 in the league. Manhattan is tied with Quinnipiac at 11-4 in second place. In fourth place right now, Canisius, again, they play Niagara later tonight at 10-4. Ryder is the last team that would get a bye. They are the 5 seed right now at 8-7, but right behind them, Siena at 7-7, Marist at 6-8, St. Peter's is 5-10, one half game ahead of MU, which is 4-10. Niagara's in 10th at 3-11, and Fairfield's in 11th at 2-13. So if the playoffs began today, those top five, Iona, Manhattan, Quinnipiac, Canisius, Ryder, would have a bye. Canisius would play Ryder, and then the matchups would be as follows. Siena would play Fairfield, Marist would play Niagara, and Monmouth would play St. Peter's to get two higher-seeded games. That could very well be how the league shapes out moving forward in a couple of weeks. What about that caught your ear the most?
Well, being in the 8-9 game, that means you end up playing the one seed in the next round, which right now looks like it'll be Iona. And judging by the first half, that doesn't look like the greatest matchup for Monmouth. However, Monmouth does play Marist, Siena, and St. Peter's again before the season ends. So if they take care of business and they finish with Niagara, that could very well be four wins for the Hawks. They have to start picking it up, obviously. But that could be four wins, especially on their home floor. The Hawks could keep climbing up the standings and then change their first-round matchup and possibly change their quarterfinal matchup. They certainly don't want to see Iona. The other team the Hawks don't want to see is Quinnipiac. It's Quinnipiac. Is a very tough matchup for them as well.
And we'll take a look, as Steve said, at this next couple of game stretch. Again, starting Sunday, Monmouth with four straight in the MAC. They play Marist, Manhattan, St. Peter's, and Niagara before finishing up at Siena on Sunday, March 2nd. That four-game homestand, Steve, is huge. And you look at those three names I said, Manhattan, Marist, St. Peter's, Niagara. If you're an MU fan, someone like us following the program, you've got to think, three out of those games, you don't use the term must win unless it's a do or die situation, but three of those are should wins, and that could get MU to seven, maybe steal one more, get to eight league wins, barring tonight's outcome. I think that could be right where Monmouth wants to be, with maybe a little momentum going into Massachusetts.
Absolutely, and again, you want to protect your home court. So Marist, who Monmouth lost to in Poughkeepsie, and St. Peter's, Monmouth lost to in Jersey City. Now they come to West Long Branch. Monmouth's going to have to take care of business on their home floor. A big game is going to be that Siena game. That Siena game could very well be determining, does Monmouth finish above Siena, and maybe even other teams too, as it's going to really be tight there between 6 through 9 as the season goes along. And again, that's a road game too, the last game of the year in Siena, a team who gets a great crowd and great support up there.
Hawks trail Iona 42-26. We'll take one final 30-second timeout and get you ready for the second half here courtside at the Heinz Athletic Center. 30-second break, and we're back on the Shore Sports Network.